Well, will you take your Bibles and open them to Philippians chapter 3.
We're going to read verses 7 through 11 tonight. As we look at this study that I'm entitling, Enter the Furnace. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Father, I come to You tonight and ask that You will speak to us through Your Word. Lord, I know that it's in the giving up of ourselves, the surrendering of ourselves to You, even the walking through the fires of this world, that cause us to focus more and more and more on You, the most important thing. And I just pray, Father, that as we go through the furnace, You will hone us and mold us and make us into exactly what You want us to be, into the likeness of Christ. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Stanley says, "When we make the choice to walk in Him, we must be aware that God does His most intimate work in the midst of the fire." When I heard him say this, I was listening to a study one day that he was going through, and this just hit me because it really is in the midst of the fire where God does His work. If you recall, James in the first chapter says we ought to count it joy when we go through the testing. That word testing means going through the fire. Isaiah 23:10, Isaiah says, "When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold." It is in the furnace that God does His work. And so tonight, as Paul is sharing from his heart to the church at Philippi, I want us to go through what I call seven truths that we can learn in the furnace. You might say, "Well, I know what I could learn in the furnace. It's hot in here." But the fact is that it's in the furnace that God does amazing things. God desires that we trust Him wherever He takes us, especially into the furnace. You see, it is the trust in God that helps us understand that He's going to take care of us. The example, of course, is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They literally trusted God in the midst of the furnace. And I just love how they stood up to the king and said, "King, you can throw us into the fire if you want to. But even if we burn up, we're not going to bow down." So he said, "Okay, throw them in the fire." And they did. And they made it out just fine. Rick Ferguson says it this way, "I'm not sure that any true spiritual growth can really occur apart from pain and difficulties." And I think there's one reason I know why. Because when everything seems to be going our way, we tend not to rely on Christ. We tend not to focus on Him because everything seems to be going well. And so we just are just cruising along thinking that everything's just fine. The fact is, it's in those times that we find that we have a need. "I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee." It's in those times of need that we realize, man, I can't trust in myself. I can't trust in this world. I can't trust in the things of this world. I have to trust in the One, the only One who can take me through any of these things. It is in the fire that God desires for us to trust Him. One of the reasons, the second truth, is that the furnace burns off the outer and reveals what's in the inner of our lives. You see, because when we go through trials, when we go through struggles, all that outer stuff, the fluff, gets torn away. What's really real is going to come out. What's really inside of us is going to come out. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says it like this: "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" You see, it can even deceive yourself. Did you realize that? You can deceive yourself. In fact, James says, don't be like the person who walks in front of the mirror and takes a look and sees something that needs to change, and then walk away and forget about it. And so deceive yourself. How bad is it if you deceive somebody else? But it's even worse if you deceive yourself. And yet that is the bent of our heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31 says, "But when envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land, God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart." You see, sometimes God just says, okay, you think you know it all? Let me just kind of step back and let you find out you don't know anything. It's in the midst of that testing. It's in the midst of the furnace. It's in the midst of the fire, the trials, the struggles, that God does things that show us what's really on the inside of ourselves. And there's no greater time than when we go through trials and struggles and temptations and hurts and heartaches. God literally shows us what's on the inside. The third truth about the fact that when we're in the furnace, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't in there by themselves. God is always watching over you. See, feelings can mislead you into thinking that God's not watching, or He must not, or care, or doesn't know what's going on in my life. It's easy for us to think those kind of things, but the fact is that God is always right there with you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the struggle is. And He's always willing to help you if you'll just ask Him. He loves for His children to call on Him, Abba, Father. He loves for His children to reach out and say, "Lord, I can't handle this on my own." And He probably wants to say back to us, "Oh, you're finally figuring that out. You can't do it on your own." Romans 8:28 tells us that if we will know in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The fact is that no matter what we're going through, God's going to use it to do what? He's going to use it for our good, to get His purpose done in our lives. You see, His purpose is not always our purpose. In fact, most of the time our purpose is selfish. It's directed by what I would like, what I think would be good, what I think would be the best for me. But many times it's in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the furnace, where God says, "No, that's not what I want for you at all. I have something totally different for you. But I will supply every need that you have. And I will work towards my good in your life." God is always watching over you. And God is with you in every trial. There's never going to be a time that you're going through a struggle or a heartache or a trial, or in the midst of the furnace, where you have to wonder where God is, because He's always right there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you." And when the word "never" shows up in Scripture, it's there for a reason. The Hebrew term for "never" means never. Shocking, isn't it? That's exactly what it means. He will never leave you or forsake you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if God says something, you better take that to heart. If He says it twice, you better really take it to heart. He's always going to be with you in every trial. There is such a comfort in that. Because sometimes when I'm going through a struggle or I feel like I'm in the midst of the furnace, I just want to go, "Where are you, God?" But then I know He's right there. Because He told me, "Never leave me or forsake me." The next thing is God is able to take care of you no matter what the situation is. You might think, well, you just don't know how bad this situation is that I'm in. I don't, but God does. God knows exactly where you are and what you're going through. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I think it's the one right before that, Paul. Huh? It didn't get in there? Okay, I will read it to you straight out of here then. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Sorry about that. My typing skills must have went to bed at an earlier time than I did. Okay. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." God is able, and He will do more than we can even think or imagine, the Scripture says. He is able to take care of us. He is always at work, especially in the furnace. God loves to do His best work at the times that we're struggling the most. And the reason is because it shows us how frail we are and how strong He is. He's always at work. The very trial we are facing is there because God wants to mature us in this in that specific area of our lives. I remember going through this study many years ago, and it was in James. And the person that was teaching that reminded us as we were going through that passage, it says to count it joy when we go through all kinds of trials because we know that God is perfecting us in the midst of it. And he reminded me that, and it reminded me even as we're going back through this again, that God doesn't, He's not worried about how you are going to think or act or whatever else if you're not in the trial. What He's worried about, or not even worried about, but what He wants out of us is what happens when the pressure comes. Are we going to rely on ourselves? Or are we going to trust in Him? It's in the midst of the furnace where we have to be reminded to trust in Him. Think about other people that went through struggles and trials. You know, Daniel knew that if he kept on praying, that he was probably going to have to pay the price for it. And he did. And the king told him, "Daniel, you know, that's an edict I made that if you don't, you know, if you keep praying to your God rather than to me, you're going to be thrown into the pit with the lions." Daniel said, "Yep, throw me in." Now, I don't know about you, but I would kind of be a little worried in that situation. And even though I know God could take care of me, my fear would be, would God take care of me? And the answer was, in Daniel's heart, absolutely. You see, because Daniel knew one thing. He knew that God loved him so much, and he wasn't going to quit praying to the one who loved him that much. Because of that, if he got thrown in and got eaten up, so be it. I'll be with God. If he got thrown in and they didn't eat him up, even better. Because then he could stand and give testimony to God. That's exactly what happened. It's in the midst of the furnace where God does His work. Sometimes our furnaces are self-imposed rather than God's plan. Have you ever done that? You brought the furnace on yourself? I think we all have. I think we've all gotten ourselves in situations and trials and struggles that we brought in, and it really wasn't God's plan. But even in the midst of those trials, God can do amazing things when we turn to Him, when we call out to Him and ask Him to work. What's the reason for the furnace? Well, apart from it, we would become very self-centered. If everything was working out in our lives and we never had any struggles or trials or issues, our eyes would always be on us and on what's going on in our lives. But the furnace gets our eyes back on what's truly important. It's kind of like spoiled children. If you just keep spoiling your children and give them everything that they want, is that going to be good for them? No, of course not. They're going to get to a point where they demand to have things. They're going to get to a point where they just expect that everything that they've ever wanted is going to be provided for them. And I guess that's why they call them spoiled. We can't become spoiled children. We have the best Father in the whole universe. But He allows us to go through struggles and trials to remind us of what's really important. You see, apart from the furnace, we also can become self-confident, believing that we can do anything we want to do. If we don't have any struggles or trials, no issues coming up in our life, hey, I can just about do anything. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited," Paul says, "I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me." Now, a lot of people speculated on what that is. Some people thought he had a stuttering problem. Other people, you know, thought he had a bad situation with his wife. Paul was married. And, you know, a lot of different things. But the fact is whatever it was, we don't know what it was. God allowed that to continually remind him. Have you ever had a thorn in your finger that's under the skin and you just can't get it out and it just bugs you all the time? And maybe there's just a little tip of it sticking out and you brush it against something and it's always reminding you it's there. Splinters, get those all the time when we're doing firewood. And, you know, it's just like, oh man, I got to get this thing out. Paul says, "I've got this thorn in my flesh. It's just a reminder to me so that I won't start being conceited in myself. Instead, I'll be trusting in the one who loves me more." God knows that we all have a tendency towards pride. You can't spell pride without the I right in the middle. Apart from the furnace, we also become sinful. Because when we're not being tried and we don't have any issues in our life and everything seems to be hunky-dory, then we tend towards selfishness and self-fulfillment. Psalm 119:67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray," David said, "but now I obey your word." You see, when that furnace comes along, it reminds us that we're not in control and we're not in charge and we don't have all the answers and we don't have all the solutions. We tend towards sin until something gets our attention. You see, if God didn't get our attention, we would just do whatever we wanted to do. That's our tendency. That's our sinful nature in us. There was a slogan used back in World War I of how many foot soldiers that were in the trenches who never once acknowledged that they were God-fearing people. But when they got in the foxholes, in the terrible, you heard them praying. And that term was, "There are no atheists in foxholes." Because it reminds you, when you're in the furnace, there's only one place to turn, and that's to Him. That's the reason for the furnace. Well, what's the results from the furnace? One thing that we need more than anything, I believe, as Christians, is brokenness. What I mean by that is break our spirit so that your spirit can fill us up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." What does that mean? It means even though we go through the struggles of this life and they seem hard and we don't know exactly how they're going to end, what they're really doing is achieving for us a mindset after Christ, because we know that that's going to outweigh anything that we go through here in this world. And Paul didn't just talk like that. He lived like that. You see, what good is a horse unless he's broken? You know the difference between an unbroken horse and a broken horse? It's usually you. You get broken. You get on an unbroken horse, you get broken pretty quick. But if you ride a broken horse, he's just as strong as he was, has as many muscles, is just as fast, just as powerful. But broken means he is now submitted to the one who's riding him and has the reins in his hands. We all need to be broken from our selfish, sinful nature and give the reins of our life over to the one who can lead us where we need to go. Humility. Humility means I'm nothing, he's everything. See, pride is our greatest enemy in our walk with Christ, because we start thinking that we're pretty good and that we've done a good job. And, you know, hey, you know, somebody ought to pat me on the back for how good I've been doing and all those kinds of things. It's like the guy who wrote the book, Humility and How I Achieved It. It's just like, you know, everybody wants everybody else to think that they're so good. But that's pride. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to older people, to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble." Do you want God's favor? Pride has got to die in our lives. Humility. Just as Christ humbled himself even to death on the cross. Compassion. When we go through the furnaces of life, we tend to care about others who are going through the same thing. It's in those difficult times that we start to realize other people who are also going through difficult times. And we start to care about them, and we start to have compassion for them. It's just like when Jesus looked on them with compassion as sheep without a shepherd. See, when Jesus looked at people, he saw the need. He saw their heart. He saw their hurt. And he wanted to reach out to them and meet their needs. And he did that over and over and over again. The last two things is purity and priority. Purity, there's a refining process that happens in the fire. You see, when they take that gold that comes straight out of the ground, it's got so many impurities in it that it's not pure gold. And so they put it in the furnace and they heat it up as hot as they can get it. And the gold itself becomes very pliable. But the impurities inside that nugget cannot become pliable because they're not gold. And so they take it out when it's very hot and they beat on it and the impurities fly out and the gold molds together with itself over and over again. Take it out, beat it, put it back in, heat it up, take it out. You might say, that's how I feel. I get put in the fire and then I get beat on and then I get put in the fire and I get beat on. But that's good, because guess what comes out at the end? Pure. Purity. Gold. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it." Nobody likes the discipline. Nobody likes going through the pain. Nobody likes going through the furnace. But what it does is it processes us into what God is trying to do in our lives. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we read it just a moment ago. Whatever was gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. You want to purify your life? Head into the furnace. The last thing is priority. In the furnace, it reminds us of who He is. He's the only one who can walk alongside of us in the midst of all of this and know what our hearts are and know where our hurts are. Things become a lot less important, and He becomes our focus in the midst of the furnace. You might be wondering, God, how come I'm having to go through all this stuff I'm going through? How come this country is going through what it's going through? How come this world is going through what it's going through? I believe God is trying to get our attention one more time. And I honestly believe that before Jesus comes again, and He may come very, very, very soon, He wants to make sure that everybody can hear the good news and make a decision on their own. You know, when all this stuff happens around us, it shows us what's really, really important. It makes us take account of things that we're doing and are they really valuable. It's in the midst of the furnace that God does His work every time. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You so much for the furnace. Lord, we don't necessarily enjoy it, but we enjoy the results of it. And it's that it pushes us to You. It causes us to burn for You, to seek You. Seek You first, Your kingdom and Your righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to us as well. Father, help us to keep our eyes fixed on You. Help us, Lord, no matter what we're going through, to remember You're right there with us and that You will never leave us or forsake us. You have a purpose for what You do. And I thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.
That made me joyful because I knew it was coming.
Of course, I can't hear out of my right ear now, but. Oh, sorry about that.
Do what?
Somewhere in your past, you probably saw somebody do horseshoes, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, it's like I tell people, you know, what do you want to be, a butter knife Christian or a battle sword Christian?
Right.
And in order to make a good play, it's got to be good quality, and it's also got to be heated up, and then it's got to be tempered, which means it gets to stay in the heat for a while.
Right.
Thank you.